Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and Pastors Richard and Helen Kabakian can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
You know, most parents that I know, me being one of them, would feel, if we were quite honest, we probably haven't been the parents that we actually imagined we would be. You know, as you were growing up and your parents did some things to you and you promised yourself you're never going to do that to your kids and that things are going to be a little bit different for your children. And I don't know about you, please don't leave me hanging. I'm sure that it is the case. But for most parents in this place, we feel that we would have just been different. And maybe we were different to our parents, but we just felt like we would have just, for example, we just would have been involved more in their education. For some of us, it would be that we would have just helped them with their relationship with God a little bit more, especially for those of us whose children are a little bit older now, that we would have taught them how to read the Bible or how about this one? Some of us would feel like, yeah, I probably didn't really teach my kids how to eat well or how to stay fit, and I probably should have put a little bit more extra effort. And I don't know about you, but that can start to bring a sense of guilt. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? My children, you know, I thought I would have helped them to become a tennis star. I thought I would have helped them to be a better leader or teach them a second language. I went to Lebanon recently and all my relatives there obviously speak Lebanese. I was in Lebanon and they speak English really well. And they speak obviously Arabic and they speak Spanish and they speak every other language under the sun. And so they said, when are we going to see your children? I said, oh, hopefully soon. And they said, oh, we just can't wait. We just want to be able to, you know, speak with them and you know, have some great conversations in Arabic. And I'm like, that ain't going to happen. We're struggling, let alone my kids. And you know what? I've come back from Lebanon feeling a little bit guilty that I didn't teach my kids. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we just feel that we just should have been better and done a whole lot more and provided, especially when you see what goes on Facebook these days and where parents are taking their children and the things that some children are achieving. You can start to feel like, what sort of a parent am I? What am I even providing for them? And you know what? I just wonder whether that's God's will for our life. I don't think God wants us to live in one permanent state of we are always failing our children. You know, we thought that we would just be a little bit different. But what is the one thing that we can do that at the end of the day, our children say, Mum and Dad, you did a great job? What is that thing? What's that one thing? Because I know some people who have done apparently all the right things, but yet those children don't say that to their parents. They don't say, thank you, Mum and Dad, you did a great job. They're actually very hurt. Some of them are very bitter, and some of them don't really value what their parents did for them, although the parents think they did everything for them. And there's a really interesting verse in the Bible that brings me a lot of comfort all the time. Now, I just want to share that with you. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, and it says this. It says, above all, in other words, most importantly, above everything else, love each other deeply. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. Now, that word sins there is actually not talking about deep, dark, nasty sins. The word there is actually, it's hamartia. And the word hamartia simply means, wait for it, mistakes, shortfalls, failings, and faults. That's what it means. So the Bible is saying, above all, love each other deeply. Why? Because love covers a multitude of mistakes, shortfalls, faults, and failings. Above everything else, that's what love does. Isn't that powerful? Because I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that we don't get right. But the Bible is giving us almost one bullet solution to all of that. Love. If we love, then it will cover a multitude of wrongdoings that we didn't mean to do. Maybe we did mean to do it at the time, but now we regret it. But is there a way that God can somehow help us with that? And why am I talking about this today? Because it's Father's Day. And I know that as many fathers are receiving gifts from their children and really appreciating what they're getting because their children are being so generous. Amen. With the gifts. How many of you ladies love the day when you do have to stop buying the gift and you've actually got children that can buy their own gifts now? How many of you think your children should have been doing that about 5 years ago, but you're still buying the gift? Yeah. The Bible says love covers a multitude, not just one or two, a multitude of wrongdoings. Love can still cover that. And some of you are thinking, how does soft and mushy love achieve that? How? Well, the problem is we've got a misunderstanding of the word love. When we read the word love, we just read the word love. But imagine walking into a coffee shop and just saying, hey, buddy, can I have a coffee? Especially in Melbourne. Hey, can I have a coffee? What do you think the barista or the person serving you behind the counter is going to say to you? You think they'll just go, sure? Or will they say to you, what type of coffee you want? Long black, long macchiato, short macchiato, latte, cappuccino, double doppio, marijuana. What do you want? What are you wanting in this thing? You can't just walk into Melbourne and say, can I have a coffee, please? Would that be true? Well, you know, in the Bible, it's the same thing. The Greeks had a very sophisticated language and they had six different words for the word love and had six different meanings. But in our English translation, we've taken all of those six different meanings and we've used the same word called love. So we would use the same word to say to our partner over a candlelit dinner, honey, I love you. And then we walk down the street and say, I love this ice cream. And it's the same word. And the Greeks would be totally offended by that. Actually, there's some Greeks in this room right now that are totally offended by that. Because they had different words that meant the word love, but it was different meanings to it. And I just want to talk very quickly about what, when the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins, what love is it talking about? Well, let me tell you some of the ones that the Bible does talk about. There's eros love, which is where we get the word erotic from, which is the passion love, which is the love that a husband and wife have for each other, that, or even a couple who are just starting to get to know each other who are going down the erotic road once they get married road. Yeah, just. And I wonder whether the Apostle Peter, when he says love covers a multitude of sins, is he talking about eros love? Is he saying that the erotic love for one another is going to cover a multitude of sins? Well, the answer is no. But for some guys, that's just like, that's a revelation to you right there. Because you think as long as I, everything's going to be okay. You know, I know that I didn't pick up the school kids and I didn't do all those things that she wanted me to do, but as long as, as long as that's all going on, no, it doesn't say that. That's not the word love that it uses. Yeah, got revelation right there for some guys. It's like, whoa, my dad taught me. Yeah, okay, but you need to. Then there's another word. It's called phila. And phila love is a love that two friends have for one another. It's about when you're just really committed to a friendship. Well, you know what? Facebook is doing a great job at making sure that love doesn't exist anymore. But that's not the word love that the Apostle Peter is talking about. Then there's the word storge. And storge is the love that a mother has for a child, or that a dad has for his son, or a brother for a brother and sister for a sister. It's that family love. It's the instinctive love. But funny enough, that's not the love that the Apostle Peter is saying will cover a multitude of sins. Did you hear that? So you just being a great parent and my kids know that I love them is actually not the love that the Apostle Peter is saying will cover the multitude. Which word is it? Come on, I think most of us would know it. Do we know which one it is? We should know which one it is. It's called agape. And this is the love that God loves us with. And that's the word that he says. He says agape love will cover a multitude of sin, right? So what is this love then? What is it? Well, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us all about it. And this is the word that's used in 1 Corinthians 13. So let's just get that up. Have a look at what it says. It says agape is patient. That's the word there, love. Not storge, not eros. Agape love is patient. It's kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. It's not rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? Let's keep going. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, it never loses faith, it's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Every circumstance. That's the love that the Apostle Peter says, if you love like that, it will cover a multitude of sins. In other words, if you didn't take your kids to tennis lessons, but you did this, your kids are going to say, thank you, Mum and Dad, I know you love me. And they're going to forgive you for it. If you didn't take them to pottery classes, actually, they'll probably be thank you that you didn't. But if you love them like this, this love is powerful. This love is real. This love is raw. And the Bible is saying if you show them this type of love, then it's going to cover a multitude of wrongdoings that you will do as a parent or as a mother or a father to a child or as a husband and wife. It will cover a multitude of sin if you will love them. Except we've only got one problem with this type of love. Are we ready for it? Because, see, this love sounds awesome, but let's put it back up again. But this is the problem with this love. It says, no, back to the start there. It says, love is patient. In other words, the only time you can show this sort of love is when someone's annoying the heck out of you. So, like most of us, come on, let's be honest, most of us said, God, I want to love like that. What you actually said is, God, bring on annoying people. That's what you just said, because in order to show this type of love, every one of them has a counter action. So when it says love is kind, that means people are treating you cruel. See, for most of us, oh, love, as long as everything's good. Now, this is saying when everything's bad, this is how we ought to behave. Love's not boastful. Listen, I've heard a girl say to me, oh man, I don't know whether I love him because he irritates me. Girl, next one. That's your time. That's your time to love him. Yeah. Oh, he irritates me. Awesome. That's your time to show him agape love. Yeah. And sometimes we think if someone's annoying us that we don't love them. No, that's the time you're supposed to be showing them love. But we live in a world where if something slightly is annoying you or if something's not right or if it's not just perfect or if someone keeps showing, doing things that are wrong to you, that's our way to now pull out and to not love those people. No, that's when we show love. Amen? That's when we show it. But we want this perfect world sometimes and God is saying, no, that's the world's love. But agape is very, very different to this. Listen, there's nothing weak about this. I've actually asked the worship team to sing that song that God's love is fierce. I didn't even know those two words could exist in the same sentence. God's love is fierce. How can fierce be linked to love? Because God is not distracted by our wrongs. And his love just keeps coming at us and it keeps coming at us. And this is why I wanted to speak this today, because I want us to just grow in our love. It's the theme of our year about growing. And God wants us to go to a new level. You know, most of us have heard this scripture. Come on, who's heard of this 1 Corinthians scripture? Most of us. Even if you don't even go to church, where would most of you have heard this scripture? Yeah, do we all agree? So most of us have heard this scripture. Music, please. And scripture. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not rude or jealous. And that's what we think this is talking about. When the absolute truth is, music please, love is patient and it's kind. Love is not jealous. Bang, let's just stop right there. How many of us fail that? When our partner feels like they are showing something more affection than us, we fall over right there. And this is one of the toughest, hardest scriptures you'll ever find in your life. There's nothing sweet or romantic about it, to be quite honest with you. It is fierce love. Are you hearing this? It's fierce. It's tough. It's hard. It goes for it. Love is patient. I love my partner, yeah, but you know, when she's looking for that diamond ring that you're buying her, how cute are you that you're buying her a diamond ring? But how impatient do we get when she can't find what she wants? Sometimes we feel like we're actually living this, but God wants us to go to a new level in it. a new level. You know, I know a guy who goes, you know, I just don't know what my wife wants. There was a guy, loved his wife a lot. And so he swam the deepest river, he climbed the highest mountain, and he walked across the widest desert for her. But she divorced him because he was never home. Isn't it funny how sometimes we think we're doing love, but we're not doing love. We're just doing what's obviously just really convenient sometimes. And as soon as something starts to go wrong, we walk away from that so quickly. It's like so quickly. You know, one of the descriptions says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Recently, I took my mum to the doctor. I seem to be doing that a lot these days. And it's great because we get to spend some time together and, you know. And so we parked at the doctor's, and this particular, man, the parking spaces are so small. And I drive a Golf. Like, it's not a very big car. It's so small. And my mum opened the door, and she hit the car, and right, you know. And so it was like, poof. And then she looked back at me, and I'm looking at her like, and she's feeling bad. And she sort of gets out of the car, and she's feeling bad for what she just did. Then she pokes her head back into the car, and she says, you remember what you did to my car? Does anyone remember the story of what I did to my mum's car? I stole my mum's car when I was 14 years old. And so that they wouldn't know when I was bringing it back home, it was 11 o'clock at night, I turned the car off and I let the car just go up the driveway in neutral so that by the time I got up onto the grass area where it was parked, there would be no car noise. Well, the car didn't get all the way up the driveway. And I couldn't restart it because my mum would hear the car restart. So I thought I'd just back it back down the driveway in neutral. But I had the door open a little bit so that I could sort of see where I was going. And as I'm going down, there was another car there, and the car door hit that car. And as my mum's car kept rolling back, it bent the door all the way back. To the door hit the fender, like it went all the way back around like that. And so then I'm like, so then I just started the car, parked it there, and just tried, and I just basically left the door open, and I just, and I went to bed. I wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning. My mum goes, Richard. And so when she poked her head back into after tapping my door on the car beside me, she goes, you remember? See, my mum's not showing me real love there. That's when my mum needs to grow in her love and not keep a record of wrongs. You know, I've got some really great news because I'm sure that a lot of you right now, me included, you're actually not getting a lot of comfort out of this scripture. Love covers a multitude of sins. It's like, oh man, now that you've told me what real love is, I feel even worse. At least I was taking them to tennis lessons and yelling at them the whole way up. We were driving there, but at least I was taking them somewhere. Now I'm feeling a whole lot worse. Well, I've got some great news for you. This is the news I'm excited to bring you today. Are you ready for it? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says something really profound. It says this. It says, but anyone who does not love, agape, does not know God, for God is agape, right? So I've got some great news for you. Do you know when it says love is patient, love is kind? You could take that word love out and put the word God in. And so then it reads like this, God is patient, God is kind, God does not keep a record of your wrongs. Isn't that powerful? What that scripture is actually saying is God is patient with me and God loves me and he doesn't keep a record of my wrongs and God doesn't rejoice when evil wins out in my life. God, listen, it says God never gives up and God never loses faith and God is always hopeful and God endures through every circumstance. God believes in me. God believes in me. And that whole passage, friends, to be quite honest with you, is not saying that this is the standard that God's actually got for us and if you don't live up to that, then you're in trouble because the very scripture that we are reading is saying that this is the way God loves us. Therefore, because of what we have received, we are able to give. Are you hearing that? this is the great news that we have on Father's Day. You don't have to be perfect. Hey, it would be great if you were, but, you know, we're all on a journey here. But the Bible is saying that if you can receive this love, then maybe we can give this love. And if we do that, then we will live a life where we will cover a multitude of sins. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a huge shout out. Isn't that great news? God is patient. God is kind. And some of you are sitting there right this, and I know what you're thinking, especially if you're new here today. I know what you're thinking. Pastor Richard, you don't know some of the things that I have done. You don't know. Like, these people seem like they're really good people. They seem like they've got it all together. They seem like they really, you know, do love each other. You don't know the things I've done. And you know what? There's an element of truth to that. Yes, they are good people. We are trying to live for God. We are trying to do the right thing by other people. We are. No doubt about it. But I've got to tell you something. None of us are perfect. On the inside, absolutely, 100%. The way God sees us, 100%. But do we get it right on the outside all the time, every day? No. And I just want to encourage you, please don't feel like you're less than in this place. Actually, there is a guy in the Bible. His name was Paul. But before he was Paul, his name used to be Saul. And do you know what he did for a living? He was a priest. And he was so upset with people who became Christians, because it was the new religion, that he used to kill them. He used to kill good people who were just trying to love God. And I want to ask you in this place, and I've done this multiple times, I've never had a hand go up, but maybe today's the first day. Do you go around killing Christians for a living? Anyone? No, no. Most people don't do that for a living. Yet the very man who used to do that wrote this passage. And he wrote it in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39. And he says this. This is what he says. He says, I'm convinced that, come on, say it with me. Nothing. Listen, I want to ask you right now, wherever you're sitting, does nothing include the things that you've done? Absolutely. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's agape. Nothing. Nothing. But you don't realize what I've done to some girls out there. They're right now, they're really hurt. Yeah. That comes under the word nothing. I'm so happy to be able to say that today. What a great Father we have in heaven that I could say to you guys, nothing. Nothing can separate you from God's love, neither death nor life, angels, demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate you from God's agape. Wow. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the agape of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, nothing can separate you from that love, because it's a fierce love. And why is God able to do all that? Why? How can he achieve that? Because Jesus took every single one of those things that you're worried about, that you think you're not good enough for God, Jesus took every one of them and he took it with him to the cross. And he had nails put in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head to pay the price. And guess what? When you pay the price for something, you don't pay it twice. So what you're feeling all guilty about, God says, listen, thank you for feeling guilty. That's great. But it's actually wrong, because it's been paid for. And nothing can separate you from God's love today. Nothing. I don't know about you, but that's the greatest news on earth today. That's the greatest news that anyone could receive. And the greatest gift a father could receive today, the greatest gift, is the gift of knowing that there is a God in heaven who's not upset with you. He's not looking at all your failings. And what he would say to every one of us is, hey, listen, as you leave this place today, I just want you to know that love covers a multitude of sins. And our challenge is this. God does want us to show our family, our friends, our work colleagues, the agape of God. But you can't give what you haven't got. You can't give it. And so I've allowed some time today in our service, because I want us to sing that song again. I'm going to welcome the worship team to come up. And we're going to sing that song. And this is going to be our prayer today. We're going to say, God, give me more of that agape love. Give me more of it. Receive it, friends. You can't give what you haven't received. And I want you to receive it. And maybe you're in this place for the first time and you've never received the love of God. Well, today's your day. Amen. You know, in a room this size, there would be people that have been divorced. There are some people that have done some things that really, we all know that you're not very proud of. But I'm telling you right now, there is a God in heaven who has got his hand reaching out and his love, listen, his love is fierce. His love is coming after you. And he's telling you, don't let anything separate me from you. Don't let your own thoughts, don't let what people say, don't let what a demon might say to you. Don't allow anything to separate you from God's love for you. Why? Why do we even need to receive it? Because you can't give what you haven't got. And if you haven't got it, then how are you going to cover a multitude of sins if you're not showing that type of love? But first, we've got to get it to be able to give it. Now, come on. God wants us to be people who are patient. But first, you've got to realize he is patient with you. You know, there have been many circumstances in my life where honestly, I have wanted to just hold on to unforgiveness with all my heart. Why? Because I felt justified. And I've wanted to hold on to it. And God says to me, hey, listen, you're welcome. You're welcome to hold on to unforgiveness if you want. But let's make one thing clear. I don't hold on to the things that you've done wrong to me. That's what God says to me. Hey, if you want to hold that against that person for the rest of your life, you go ahead and do that. It's not good for you. It's unhealthy. It's not my will. But that's not how I treat you. So whenever someone hurts me, you know, it was prophesied today in our prayer meeting that there would be some people in this room, you've got some unforgiveness. And God would say to you today, love keeps no record of wrongs. I'm going to say that again. Love keeps no record of wrongs. I'm going to say it one more time. Love keeps no record of wrongs. And now listen, there is a God in heaven who's treating you that way today. He is not keeping a record of your wrongs. God's not in heaven going, yeah, think you're going to go to church today, are you? You were fighting even on the way to church and you were raising your hands. No, God doesn't talk like that. God says, I don't keep, what did you do? That's what God, what did you do? What? I don't even know, what are you talking about? But yet we hold on to stuff and God says, I know why you do that, because you haven't received what I've done for you. Come on, we need God to flush us out. And as his agape hits us, we are then able to give it. Does anybody want some of that agape today? Anybody want some of that agape today?
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.